I like the song because it has a lot to do with what we're going to talk about tonight. I pray briefly, but who knows? And that is the idea that we are a people who are walking through life. And we are walking two paths. Think of Proverbs chapter 4 with me. Proverbs chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 10 through 19. Solomon writes, "Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom and have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instructions. Do not let it go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence, but the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto a perfect day." Verse 19, "The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble." You know, Solomon goes on there, and he says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh." Let's think about this a little bit tonight as we think about these two different paths, a path of righteousness, a path of light, a path of wisdom, and a path of wickedness, a path of unrighteousness, a path that is contrary to everything that God wants us to do. And so, have you ever considered that without the sun, we wouldn't be able to see the moon? That's important. And the reason is obvious. The moon itself does not have light within itself. It only looks so beautiful because the sun shines light on it. It's like, you know, the moon in the spiritual sense, we do not have light within us. That's not a normal thing. And without the light of Christ Jesus, our Lord, we are darkness. You know, and I'm not saying that people aren't able to be good. Of course they are. I'm not saying people can't be moral. Of course they can. They can be upright citizens. But I'm saying that for others to see righteousness in you, to see the glory of God, to see the light of Jesus Christ, you need the light of Christ in you, because it can't be shown without that. Our light only shines when we have Christ in us. And we want that light to shine always. You know, we don't want to be like the moon where you see the whole beautiful full moon and then in a few days it gets smaller and smaller until you have this little crescent and then you don't see that moon. We don't want to be that moon. We want to be the light. And then another thing too is as you lay down and you look up into the night sky and you see the glories of the stars, the heavens, and that beautiful moon, sometimes you also see a comet. We call them shooting stars sometimes. They're up high in the elevation and you can see them on a nice clear night, that wishful streaks that fly through the sky. Temporary glimpse of light. Here for a moment, gone in a twinkling of an eye. Never to be seen again. Kind of reminds you of James, doesn't it? How our life is like a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow, just a twinkling of an eye. So there's two paths that Solomon lays out in this text that we just read. Wisdom, which was artfully described, right? The path of wisdom and the path of the wicked. And with that in mind, we want to consider these two paths. One path is, of course, the light that Christ gives us, the light that enters into our hearts, into our minds, that makes believers become powerful and strong and the chosen ones of God. And then that light that emanates from us, right? That light that keeps us going, that keeps us off the path of the wicked. And so we want to consider these, and we don't want to be that flicker of light that just is here today and gone tomorrow. The acquisition of wisdom is stressed all throughout the Bible. There's no question of it. Get wisdom and understanding, Solomon says. Wisdom is the principal chief. It's the most important thing that we can have. It's something that freely comes from God, and it's a lot different than knowledge. Wisdom is when you take God's word, you rightly divide it, you put things together, you harmonize things, you don't add or take from, and it's wisdom is complete when you accept the word of God written as it is in context with its proper meaning. Principal thing is wisdom. That is the thing that we need to strive for. Therefore, get wisdom, Solomon said. And all you're getting, get understanding, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. So the importance of wisdom, we can illustrate that even further with these two paths, the importance of wisdom. Think about this, described in Proverbs 4 and 10, we see that we have to take one path or the other. Solomon doesn't mince words, it's pretty clear. It's like the scripture that we read in Revelation today, you don't need to meditate on this thought all day long and for months and weeks, and you don't have to ask scholarly people. There's two paths. There's a path of righteousness, light. There's a path of wickedness, darkness. And when we think about that, we'll see that we must take one path or the other, right? We'll take the path of righteousness. That's the everlasting light. It allows the light of Christ to be manifested within us and through us. And we take the path of darkness. That's a temporary kind of light. Usually wickedness and evilness, pleasures, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. And it's always just a moment of glory. You know, people think, well, I got my whole life to make a decision. No, we don't. We make a decision now, because the whole life could end really quickly. And even if it doesn't, if you live to be 100, when you get to that age, you're going to look back and go, wow. You're either going to say, my life has been great, I'm waiting to go to the Lord, or you're going to say, wow, I've done nothing with my life. What's going to happen? So we want to summarize the two paths. A metaphor, when we think of the two paths, the way of wisdom, that path of wisdom, Proverbs 4 and verse 11, when he says, I have taught you the way of wisdom and have led you in the right paths, right? That's what Solomon's doing has been learning from his father and passing it on to his son. And there's consequences when we choose this path. Verse 10, the length of years will be many. Solomon wrote before chapter 3, before there, verse 10, don't forget my law. Let me look at it. Chapter 3, verse 10, he says, don't forget my law. Or do not be wise in your own eyes, verse 7 of 3. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. We want to be somebody who is growing not only mentally but physically fit for the service God. We keep our hearts, keep the commandments of God. It improves our longevity. A lot of research has been done about people who have peace in their lives. They tend to live longer lives than people who have strife and turmoil. The physical sense, the lifelong peace, has a lot to do hand in hand with wisdom. Proverbs 3:7-8, that I just read, I read 7 and 8, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. So when you walk, he says in verse 17 of chapter 4, you will not be hindered. Think of those things. Reason that out. That's the consequence of choosing that path is really good. The years of your life will be many. And when you walk, your steps won't be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. The latter part of verse 12. And so mental memory. Think about that. Life can be very hectic. We all know that. There's ups and downs. We face troubles in life. Decisions sometimes have to be made really quick. And when we're on the right path, we tend to make the right decisions. We're following the light. We're less likely to make physical mistakes, spiritual mistakes, because we've chosen the way of wisdom. Mental memory and physical memory are hand in hand with each other, right? You know, you practice swinging a bat and you hit a ball and you get really good at it. And that's what they do. They practice thousands of times every day. I had a Chinese teacher who told us that when you practice your martial arts move, if you want to be expert at it, you got to do it 10,000 times. So your muscles remember those movements. When you swing a golf club, the more times you do that rightly, the more times you hit the ball rightly. If you practice the wrong kind of swing, you're always going to mess up your ball. Believe me, I know all about that. So, but these things become second nature. I know that every one of us, some way or another, have something in our home where we live, in our room, where we can turn the lights off at night and reach over and grab it. We know right where it is. Maybe it's a water bottle. Maybe it's your clock. Who knows? But our minds and our muscles work together, and that's spiritually that we want the same kind of thing. We want our mind and our hearts to work together with the Spirit of God so that we don't have to stop and think all the time. We just have answers. We're ready and we're transformed by God's word. And soon you make less and less mistakes spiritually. Brother Calvin brought that up in his lesson this morning. It becomes second nature. You start to act like God, walk like God. And when the moment's decisions come up, you tend to make the right answer rather than the wrong answer. And the light of consequences, admonitions in verse 13, they're given. Take firm hold of the instructions. Don't let it go, Solomon, and keep her, for she is your life. The path of light, wisdom. That's what God wants you to hang on to. And then there's the path of the wicked. Okay, the path of the wicked is the way of evil. It is described in verse 14. You know, think about what he said. Who rejoice? These are people that are practicing darkness. They rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked. That's pretty frightful. Verse 15. You know what? I'm in the wrong chapter. 14. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it and do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. When somebody invites you to do something you shouldn't do, pass on. When somebody engages you in something, whether it be a joke or some kind of entertainment that's not correct, pass it on by. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. He says, turn away from it and pass on. Right? I had a friend in California. His name was Danny Rutschke, the only friend that I had at that time. And Danny Rutschke got me in all kinds of trouble. One time we decided that we wanted to see what the girls' bathroom was like. This was back when guys didn't go in girls' bathroom. We wanted to know what it was like. And so Danny lifted me up on a weekend, a Saturday, to an open door that went into a girl's bathroom, a window rather. He dropped me in that window and I'm in there and I'm in the girl's bathroom. Wow, this is really exciting. Okay, Danny, I want to come out. There's no way to get out. The doors on the bathroom were locked from the outside by the janitor, and that window was way too high for me to get to. I was stuck in that bathroom. The way of the wicked. Danny Rutsky also took me in an Alpha Beta store and convinced me to steal a candy bar. Never did anything like that in my life, but I followed Danny. Of course, we got caught. My dad came, and that was kind of the worst thing in the world. Follow the way of the wicked. One time we were pulling up a manhole cover. If you've ever pulled one of those up, they're really heavy, especially for two third, fourth graders. And we're picking up this manhole cover, and it is really heavy, and I slipped. Danny's fingers got stuck in there. He was stuck there till we got an adult to come and pull the manhole cover off. So a lot of, just turn away from it, right? We've all known the path of the wicked. There's things that people want us to do that we just simply cannot do. When we're enticed not to come to worship, pass on by. When you're enticed to watch a movie that has something in it that would be ungodly, pass on by. And so there's a lot of reasons to avoid this, right? A lot of reasons. The path of the wicked, the way of evil, begins being described in verse 14 and following as we look at this. The story that I just told and the things that we want to avoid. Proverbs 14 and 15, which we read. So we want to avoid these things. We want to turn away from them. We don't want to enter that path. We don't want to walk the way of the wicked and avoid it. Don't travel on it. It's pretty simple. Turn away. It's simple principles. All four can save us from all kinds of embarrassment and spiritual trouble. There's reasons to avoid that path. Think about that. Proverbs 4:16, right? One easily becomes obsessed with evil, right? They don't sleep, Solomon said, unless they have done evil. And he says about that, they their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. So there's people that they live to cause trouble. Sin is very addictive. It enslaves us. We know that. Right? Whoever commits sin is a slave to sin, John 8 and 34. It dulls our senses. It requires more and more satisfaction, like an illicit drug. And you go past that line of feeling. And you know, we go, Paul said in Ephesians 4:19 that we are past feeling at that point, giving themselves over to lewdness and the work of all uncleanness with greediness. It just becomes like a drug and you can't seem to get off of it. Proverbs 4:17, what does it say? It says that they eat the bread of the wicked, of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. Right? Little bites, little bit. That's all it takes and you're addicted. And so we avoid that. Sin is a very volatile and vile and violent attribute in the life of, in every form that it is in. And it also damages our relationship with God. You know, it's kind of hard to pray to God when you're living in sin. It's really hard to put on a show when you're living in sin. And so it does damage our relationship with God. Vince Gill, I don't know if anybody knows who that is. I actually had to look this up to use it as an illustration, but he married Amy Grant on March 10th, 2000. Problem is, Vince and Amy were both married at that time. So each one left the other's spouse in order to marry a lustful relationship. And the problem with both of them already, a beginning with adultery. And in April 2003, they openly supported together a gay and lesbian agendas. And so Amy, who was known for her Christian faith, turned away from her faith, turned away from her husband. And the real issue is it didn't happen all at once. She didn't wake up one morning and go, I don't want to be a Christian. She didn't wake up one morning and say, I'm going to leave my husband. She didn't wake up one morning and do that. She, over time, it was just a little bit of this sin, a little bit of that sin, a little playing around, a little promiscuity. and sin took its place. And so it was a lot of little tiny indiscretions, and that's where we have to be careful. There are millions of stories like this all around the world. People who take the path of wickedness and are overcome by it. So, Solomon, two paths, they contrast. The path of the just is the shining sun. Shines ever brighter into the sky. As that sun begins to go up higher and higher in the sky and it reaches its zenith, it's at the brightest, shiniest part of the day. Those who walk down the path of wisdom progressively become brighter and brighter and brighter, gradually increasing as we become more and more enlightened by the word and the light becomes stronger. The way of the wicked is like darkness, verse 19 in this text. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They don't know what makes them stumble. Think about that. You know, they fall and fall and fall. They have trouble and trouble and trouble. They're ignorant of what's going on around them. They can't figure out this spiritual problem. Ephesians chapter 4, 17 and 18. This I say, therefore, testify of the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles. That means walking in darkness. The futility of their minds, having understanding dark and being alienated, he says, from the life of God because of their ignorance that is in them, their blind, the blindness of their hearts. We can't be that person because that's what brings us into darkness, leads us to an increasing darkness, just as the Spirit leads us into increasing light. So which of the two paths? Obviously, we know that we want to take the path of light. And so we follow this idea and not the path of darkness. And think about the metaphor of the shining sun, right? It describes again that brightness getting brighter, brighter, and brighter, and brighter until it comes to a perfect day. The path of the just is a progressive light. It's a progressive brightness. The more we learn, the more we relate, the more we study, the more we consume God's Word, we get brighter and brighter and brighter. And the more you absorb God's Word, the more wisdom you have in your life to make good decisions. And so describe that progressive brightness. It's not just brightness, but it's continually. It's something that rises up into a perfect day. And you compare that in a Christian life, right? It's a life to be a life of progression. It's like the babies that need the sincere milk of the word and they continue to grow. They desire that milk. 1 Peter 2:2. And we grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. 2 Peter 3:18. We need those things. And it's not always the case. It is true. We're not always being the light that we should be. Sometimes our light is not characterized by progression, but a staleness, if you will, a regression in our lives. 2 Peter 1:8-9, right? Let these things abound in you. And you'll either be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For if he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness. And so we need to have this, be cleansed from our old sins. We don't want to grow weary in the service to God. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 13. And think of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. You know, it's contrary to what the world thinks. Paul tells us that our bodies, our flesh, is decaying, 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 day by day. But he says the inward man, the spirit, as we continue on this path, is growing and strengthening day by day. So we move forward. So we don't count ourselves to have it. We just reach out forward to it every single day. So instead of being like the sun that shines even brighter and brighter, sometimes we're that shooting star. Then we have to ask ourselves, right, does the metaphor of progressive light fit my life? Does it describe me as a Christian? And so we want to be sure we're progressively light. Right? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. So we want to remember the path that we're on has to be that path of light, that radiance that comes only from Christ, from the words of God, the Spirit of God. We can't draw near to Him if we're walking in darkness. John made that very clear. And we need to be a people who understand. We're being transformed into an image from glory to glory, just as it is by the Spirit of God, 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. And so, you know, we're simply reflective luminaries like the moon, right? It's a reflective luminary. It doesn't have light within itself. We're reflective luminaries when Christ is in us. Then we're people that are saved. Be diligent to present yourself approved, 2 Timothy 2 and 15, a worker that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Right? That's the path. That's the path that we must take. The words of the inspired apostles, the words of Jesus Christ, the words of the prophets, all the word of God. And so Revelation 22 and 5, remember what happens in heaven? You don't need a light. Right? There's no night in heaven. Right? You don't need a lamp. Nor do you need the light of the sun, for the Lord God gives light. And they shall reign forever and evermore. That's what we want. That's the goal, the ultimate goal. To have the light of God in us so much that we will be prepared for that prepared place in heaven where we won't need light anymore. So we need to do, as James says, draw near unto God and He will draw near unto us. Another thing about this prayer. Right? That's how we draw near to God. Hebrews says that seeing we have a great high priest, we can come boldly to the throne of grace where we obtain mercy and find grace in a time of need. Prayer is a powerful, powerful thing. Keeping the commands of Christ, remembering, right? He who keeps my commandments, that is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. So keep the commandments of God. Obedience is critical in order to do that. One step at a time. Just love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul. And remember Peter, he said, if you do these things, you will never stumble. If you do these things, you will never stumble. And that's what we want to do. Let our light be admired by the world, but make sure that light is shining. We can't be the house on a hill without light. We can't be a candle under a table. We need to be a light. And remember that the light is not ours. It's given to us by our Savior. So there's only two paths. Jesus described two ways, one leading to destruction, the other leading to life. The path that you're on is the question you must always make. No matter who we are, we want to be sure that we're increasing in our brightness, not the path of wickedness that leads to blinding darkness, as Paul said. Well, there you have it. I hope that the wagon load wasn't too full for you. I was going to tell that joke this morning and forgot. So I'm sure you guys all heard that joke about the preacher that got a new job. And he was so excited. He spent days working on a sermon that was 2 hours long, and he's waiting at the door at this country church building, and nobody's coming. And finally this one man pulls up in a hay wagon, and he gets out of the wagon, walks up the door, says, hello, preacher, walks in and sits down, and the preacher says, okay. So he got up and preached a 2-hour sermon. And after the sermon was over, he stood at the door. The man walked out and he says, so what did you think? And the man said, well, preacher, he says, out there you see that wagon. It's a load full of hay. And if I only have one cow, I don't make them eat the whole wagon load. We want to be careful as preachers. I think I did okay tonight, time-wise. My wife didn't hold up any signs. So we do always have an invitation if anybody has any need. I like the song that Robert selected, 840. You know, you think about that, hark the gentle voice. God's calling all of us. If we're saved, He's calling us to walk in the light. If we're not saved, He's calling us to repent and be baptized. Whatever need you might have this night, listen to the words and accept the invitation. Song number 840.